Welcome to episode 50 of Published. Today I'll speak with membership and marketing manager at the Children's Book Council and recent Publishers Weekly Rising Star honoree, Ryan Mita, all about the world of children's books. He'll share his insights and tell us about the Children's Book Council and how they support authors and publishers in this genre.
Welcome to Published, a podcast by Greenleaf Book Group, where we'll discuss the ins and outs of the publishing industry, from writing a book and finding the right publisher, to gearing up for a book launch. And now, here's your host, Greenleaf Book Group CEO, Tanya Hall.
Welcome back to Published. In this episode, we'll explore the often tough-to-navigate children's book industry. Ryan Mita will share what it means to be a successful children's book author today and how first-time authors can access the many communities and resources available to help them thrive. Ryan shares his experience and knowledge with us today in an effort to give authors considering writing a children's book an inside look at the road ahead. Let's get into the interview. Ryan, welcome to Published. We're happy to have you.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, well, we definitely get a lot of questions about children's books, so this is going to be a good one for sure. Could you start off by telling us a bit about what you do and your background in general?
Sure. So I'm the membership manager at the Children's Book Council. So what that means is I work with children's publishers and sign them up for membership in the Children's Book Council. And then the council, we create content for book publishers with librarians and educators and booksellers. So we're, you know, essentially like a promotional arm for these publishers. And prior to that, I was at Knopf Doubleday in the marketing department. And prior to that, I was an illustration agent in children's books. And I also went to the Denver Publishing Institute, and I have bookselling experience as well.
Nice, robust bit of experience there in our industry. So tell us more about the Children's Book Council. Is it basically like a marketing consortium then?
So the Children's Book Council is a trade association nonprofit. So what that means is we represent 100 plus publishers who are our clients, and we, you know, help their artists and their writers through our partnerships. So we partner with national organizations like Girl Scouts of America, like Library of Congress, and a number of national educational organizations on reading lists and promoting events. So that, in a nutshell, is what the Children's Book Council does for our 100-plus publishers.
Okay. So you obviously have a nice bit of experience and exposure to children's books. And I think one of the challenges really any author of any type of book faces is how to make their book stand out. And that's especially true, of course, with children's books. And also with children's books, you're marketing to two audiences, right? The children and then the parents who are buying the book. So it can be very tricky. What insights do you have on helping authors make their books stand out? Is there a certain type of style that's really popular right now, or maybe themes that would help someone differentiate what they're working on?
Sure. Marketing like children's books is really tricky because, as you mentioned, there are, you know, two audiences that you're sort of selling into. I would say, you know, to help an author or illustrator in this case stand out with children's books, it's really helpful to have a third party's like stamp of approval. For example, you know, the American Library Association. If a book gets onto one of their lists, then it's a lot easier to sell that to a parent as opposed to just the publisher directly saying, hey, you know, parent, I think you would like this book. Having a librarian or an educator come in and say, this book meets these criteria, and this is why we think it would be a good book, I think that goes a really long way. And earlier you asked about, you know, trends and what's doing well in the market. I don't think this is going to come as a huge surprise, but, you know, comics and graphic novels are definitely a thing that parents and teachers and librarians and kids, they all love them. And it helps. I was having a conversation with some marketing people in comics, in kids comics, and they all agreed that like having a series of books, it's extremely helpful for sales, because if the kid likes that first book and there's already a second book out, I don't know many parents who have the means and are going to say, no, you can't have that thing that you like and is educational and is, you know, not a screen. And I think also this ties in with our culture right now. It's like there's a real push for diversity and inclusion titles. You know, after the George Floyd incident, it was impossible to get some children's books because there was so much demand for them. I hate to sort of bring in the market aspect into this, but, you know, there is an awareness now and a hunger for books by creators of color or, you know, books by people who are sensitive to those things. It doesn't just have to be a creator of color. This ties in sort of with my first point. To get your book or your manuscript out there, I think it's really helpful to be a part of the community. You know, authors are always blurbing for each other or promoting each other's books on social media or Instagram, or, you know, it's a real community. Even if a writer doesn't have an agent and doesn't have a signed deal, major regions in the country have organizations like the Society for Children's Book Writers and Illustrators. And any author or illustrator can tap into that community and, you know, go to review groups or promote other writers and other illustrators. I think that is really helpful. And that's something that's a lot different between children's books and adult, is this sort of feeling, not just on the publishing side, but on the creative side of like, hey, we're all, you know, rowing in the same direction. Let's help each other.
Yeah, that's great. And I often refer people to that very organization, so I'm glad you brought them up. So there was some great advice in there for people who are perhaps aspiring children's book writers. As someone, you, who works with a lot of children's books and publishers, if you were to meet an aspiring first-time children's book author, what would you say to them to help them get set up for success? I think it can be kind of overwhelming as far as what comes first. Do I find the illustrator? Does the publisher do that? There's a lot to learn when you're new to it.
Of course. I had a conversation with a friend of a friend who's an aspiring picture book author, illustrator. And my first question is always, you know, what is your goal with the project? Because if the goal is to go with like a New York house, like one of the big publishers, then if it's a picture book, the publisher will want to find an illustrator. Like that's the editor's job. And also the timeline for that is a lot different because, you know, books that are being published now and going into bookstores and libraries, you know, they were finished, 9 months to a year ago. So if the goal is to get on the New York Times bestseller list, then you have to be a bit more patient. But if the goal is, you know, hey, I have this project that I'm really passionate about and I want, you know, more kids to see it or librarians, or I think it would benefit educators, you know, it's definitely possible to go with some hybrid publishers. And working with a hybrid publisher means you'll have more control, generally speaking, of the project. So I always make that distinction with aspiring writers and illustrators, is get clear on what your goal is. The second step is to make that manuscript or make those illustrations, like make them as clean and as amazing as you can get them. Because if the book is really amazing, you know, over time it'll find its audience. And I think it's a long haul with books. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, building a community, that takes time too. You know, for example, you know, I have friends who are comics artists, and, you know, one of my friends, he's written and illustrated like multiple graphic novels for kids. They're hundreds of pages each. He's with one of the big three or four, whatever we're calling it now. And, you know, it wasn't until last year that, you know, one of his books got optioned for DreamWorks. And it's like, oh, well, and I remember having a beer with Mike, and for once, you know, he was like, I feel really good about where I am in my career. And I was like, Mike, you've been making amazing comics for like a decade. And, you know, now you're feeling this way. So it's a long haul. And just to reiterate, it's, you know, build a community, put in the work, and then know or have an idea what you want the end product to be.
It sounds like he was one of these overnight successes, 10 years in the making. Now, working with so many children's book publishers, what would you say are some of the big challenges or hurdles they're facing today?
Since I work with so many publishers, from like Penguin Random House all the way down to these micro publishers, I think they all have like different challenges. But I think, you know, one of them is discoverability. You know, so much of sales goes through Amazon and through Barnes & Noble, you know, online. So just really being able to be unique and be distinct and be sort of the number one in your category. Because I think a lot of parents and general, you know, book readers sort of have a limited, you know, bookshelf. Like, I have stacks of books everywhere, and like my friends give me books, and I'm very fortunate. Like, I don't take that for granted. So for me, if a book comes in and my friend is, or someone recommends it and says, oh, it's, you know, like this book, then I'll pick it up, you know, even though I've already read that other book that they mentioned and I love it. But I think, you know, the general buyer, you know, may or may not know that book. And so to sort of be that book that everybody's comparing you to is huge, right? So to be that number one book in, for example, books about birds, nonfiction, you know, 0 to 6, to be number one in that category means that you're going to be that book that other parents, you know, are comparing their bird books too. So I think that's one thing, is just really discoverability has become such a huge thing. I mean, that's one of the reasons why, you know, for adult books, things like Oprah's book club or Reese Witherspoon's book club, it's like, here's a known brand coming in and saying like, read this book. And like, I trust Oprah, like I've never met her, but like, I trust her. So sure. And then I think for the smaller publishers, it's discoverability still, but it's for them, it's finding a wider audience if that's what they want. You know, some publishers that I work with are, you know, squarely focused on school markets. So for them, being on Amazon is definitely helpful, but it's not like a driving factor. For them, it's more making relationships with educators and principals. But it's still, at the end of the day, it is about discoverability for them as well, because they're trying to get into more schools and more school libraries. It's at a smaller scale. It's on a lot more one-to-one calls and meetings. Whereas, you know, with Amazon, you're just trying to get into their algorithm and being number one.
Yeah, definitely. That's super important. So what would you say are some of the biggest mistakes that children's book authors make? We talked about publishers and their challenges, but if you see authors do one thing wrong time and time again, what would that be?
So, like, as I mentioned, I worked at a bookstore in events, and I remember there was a panel with a New York Times bestselling kids comics artist, and she told me about being at a conference. I think it was a writer's conference, and going at, you know, finishing the panel or whatever event that she was on, and going to the restroom, and an aspiring author slid their manuscript under their door. And that's like an extreme example of what not to do. right? Like, I know your audience is not, generally speaking, going to do that. But my jaw hit the floor when I heard that story. I was like shocked. You can be a part of the community without being really pushy. Like, and I know that that is frustrating to hear that there's sort of no magic bullet. 'Cause book publishing is small. It's a small industry. And if an author gets a reputation that they're difficult to work with, or they're pushy, you know, or that they're not nice to their marketing people or publicity people, you know, that makes it harder to sell the next book. And if you think about it as a sort of unsigned or unpublished author, if the reputation gets around that you are pushing manuscripts, you know, into the wrong places, you know, agents and editors will latch onto that. They'll hear about that, and that will make it very difficult to sign you up. So it's just like, don't be pushy and put in the good work.
And don't be a jerk.
Don't be a jerk. Thank you.
All right. Great life advice. Well, I'd love to hear more about what the CBC is working on now. I know you have some great initiatives like Every Child a Reader. Can you tell us about that and any other programs that might be of interest to our listeners?
Sure. Every Child a Reader is our, you know, our sister organization. It's the nonprofit within the nonprofit. You know, the major programs for that are the National Ambassador for Young People's Literature. We have Jason Reynolds for the rest of this year, you know, promoting literacy and appearing virtually, you know, with schools all over, and not only in major cities. Like, I think the cool thing about what Jason is doing is he's interacting with rural school districts. And I think that's really great. Another thing that the Get Caught Reading program does is Children's Book Week. And we just wrapped that up for the spring. And it was hugely successful for us. We had author videos. We offer, you know, free downloadable content like posters with original illustrations, activities for kids to do, and, you know, school libraries and children's bookstores have been really supportive of us.
If we do have publishers listening and they want to get involved, how would they find you? How would they begin that process?
You can definitely go to our website, cbcbooks.org. I'm also happy to answer questions by email. And my work email is Ryan, R-Y-A-N, dot Mita, M as in Mary, I, T as in Tom, A as in Apple, at cbcbooks.org.
Perfect.
And I'm always happy to answer any questions that publishers have.
Thank you so much. That was very, very helpful. Thank you. Very informative. I learned a lot about the Children's Book Council for sure. Any parting advice or words of wisdom for our listeners?
I would advise authors and illustrators to, you know, really polish their manuscripts before they submit them. You know, editors and agents are they're busy people, and they want to see, you know, your very best work. And first impressions matter. And I just wanted to point authors and illustrators to a resource on the CBC website, cbcbooks.org/publishers. There's an Our Members page. And what that page does is it lists 100 plus of our member publishers and their submission policy. So if you're a writer or illustrator looking to submit manuscripts and you do not have an agent, This is a resource of 100 plus publishers and lists the ones that do accept unsolicited manuscripts and those that do not. And each publisher also has a link to their website, so you can sort of look at their submission policy and see whether it's a good fit for your manuscripts.
Ryan, you've been great. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, sure. Thank you for having me.
That's it for our episode today with Ryan. We hope you enjoyed learning about the world of children's book and the Children's Book Council. For notes and resources from today's show, go to greenleafbookgroup.com/episode50. You can also find advice for writing, publishing, and promoting your work in my book, Ideas, Influence, and Income, which you can learn more about at ideasinfluenceandincome.com. If you've enjoyed the show, please rate and review us on iTunes, Spotify, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. It means a lot to have your feedback, and it will help us make sure we're answering your publishing questions. A big thank you to Eleanor Fishborn, who produces the Published podcast. We'll be back next month with another new episode.
Thanks for listening to Published. To learn more, please visit greenleafbookgroup.com. And remember to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes.